Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to him belongs. Sit on the rainbow. Can you sit on the rainbow? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Come on in. Let's all sit on the rainbow for a minute. Can we do that? We have one that's not sure about me, so that's okay. The reason I wanted you guys to sit on the rainbow is, well, I want you to look around, and is there anything that seems out of place in the sanctuary, in the church today? Do you see the things that are kind of wrong? I'm glad you're not pointing at me. We'll play I Spy. I spy wires in the ceiling. Look, you see them? I spy duct tape. Does anybody see where duct tape is? Duct tape, that's right. Things are not right today. And today we're talking about God removing all obstacles. And things aren't right. There's things that are messed up. And when things are messed up, it kind of makes me sad. Well, I thought instead of worrying about that, I'd tell you about it a little bit and just point it out. See, look, more wires. They said it would be done, but it's not. So we have problems today. Well, here's a reality. All through our lives, there's going to be things that happen where we're not happy about. There's going to be things where you're looking going, that's not okay. And I thought about this. You know what? In most things in life, I think there's two answers. Maybe three. One is when things are wrong, duct tape, or something to fix it the best we can. And the second one is we can connect with one another and say, you know what, we're going to make it through this. So I thought we could pray together and hold hands today to remind ourselves of how we connect with one another. By the way, the third one is connecting to God. So we're going to do that, connecting with each other and God. So can we all find ways to grab hands and be all connected as one group, all up here? Okay, that's great. Oh, yes, let's connect with the whole church as much as we can. Fun. If you're not in a perfect circle, don't hurt yourself, okay? I have more duct tape, though. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you brought us together. Now hear the prayers of your people as we repeat this prayer together. Dear God, help us to know we are not alone. And when things break, we can do something. We can help fix it. Or we can connect with one another. Remind us we aren't alone. Amen. Okay, thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. So yes, second week of God on the Move, and I think it's kind of ironic to have God on the Move, and we get to past all obstacles, and we get some obstacles in church that we didn't anticipate, sort of like we meant to do it, but no. So you can remember, God on the Move, the other name for this week could be, there's duct tape for that. But truly, when you think about past all obstacles, when you've lived a few years of your life, you start realizing how hard it is to apply that to your faith. Easier said than done when there is 100-mile-per-hour winds as you're driving down the interstate in blizzard conditions. Apply, God, move us past all obstacles in that moment and tell me what you do to do that. God, move me past these obstacles. In the name of Jesus, I command this storm to stop. Yeah, how'd that work for you on Wednesday? I have to admit that aspect of our faith that practices, that faith practice of praying it away almost seems to do more harm than good. Not that I don't want to pray, but to understand and to be sure that we as people of God understand that that's not exactly what prayer is calling us to. This also sort of messes up that old what would Jesus do philosophy of faith. You know that WWJD thing that was really popular a while back. I've always struggled with the idea of that as being a center of our faith. I get it when we look at the way Jesus often dealt with conflict. I wish I had his abilities. What would Jesus do to get out of this mess that I'm in right now? Sure. But I think if we center our faith around that idea, well, if we apply this thinking as our center, we'll either get to a level of brokenness where we realize what Jesus would do, and we must admit we're not prepared to do it. Or we get to the point where we realize what Jesus would do in this situation is get crucified. And once again, I'm not prepared to do it. Another thing on this remove all obstacles, there's another segment of Christianity that teaches a prosperity gospel. They would love the title of today's sermon series, Remove All Obstacles. Yes, give me that Jesus that if I just believe hard enough, strong enough, perfectly enough, I can achieve all things in life and I will be blessed because Jesus will clear the path of all hardship, struggle, or pain. Sounds good. Until you try believing enough. And this type of faith betrays anybody who is struggling. It tells you that it's being caused by God. And it also excuses those who feel blessed and who have things in their life and are not particularly troubled. It excuses them from caring because basically it's between you and God. And if you're not doing it right, just try harder. Live right. Live the way God expects you to live. A true believer wouldn't need help. I don't need any of those ideas of a centering of faith. What I do need, I need a God who looks past the boundaries that confine me. I need a God who pushes me to see beyond that which brings us fear and discouragement and helps us to see that even when we face a level of hardship, of pain, of anger, of fear, of depression, of loss, despair, or just plain bad luck, we can know that God, that the God that we believe in this Jesus Christ, will not abandon us and has not only been there, but is there with us now. Calling us to be his actors in this play of life, helping us to see that there are some things we can do very little about, but we try, And there are some things that we can do a whole lot about. And we can get up and do it. Tell that old fox I'm on my way and nothing will stop me from carrying out my love for these people. That's basically what Jesus said. Jesus' words in Luke. And it's interesting to remind ourselves that the image of a fox in the hen house is biblical. Had you thought about that? I guess I really hadn't. I never thought about that as a biblical image. It's easy to forget it, at least, or maybe it is for me. But it's exactly the image that Jesus evokes. I might point out, too, that in this story, if Herod is the fox and Jesus is that mother hen, what does that make you and I? Chickens. Chickens, also not one of those biblical images we lift up very much for ourselves. Jesus, you calling me a chicken? Yeah, that's about right. I deserve that. I mean, I'm often afraid. I often feel like I'm running around with my head cut off. And more than a time or two, I've laid a big egg. But if I'm a chicken, who is Jesus really saying that he is? After all, what we know in life is that fox still often wins the battles. What we know of that story of the fox in the hen house is that it doesn't always end pretty. At times, it is in the hen house. At times, it is fed. But this illustration is where Jesus helps us to see that in many ways, this part of the story is real. See, the Herods of this world will come. Luke knew that when he wrote this into his gospel. The terror of the sword has been felt over and over in the world. The darkness still wins a few battles. What we know is Jesus is on his way to redeem the world. And there's this already done and still happening aspect of this. But what we do know clearly is Jesus is too busy to give the devil his due. Think about that in this story. He's too busy in this time period when he is alive in the flesh, in the world, seeking to bring healing and wholeness to the world to worry about the Herods. It's not that Herod isn't real. It's that he doesn't care. Or if he cares, he cares less about that than sharing love and grace and wholeness with people. In Scripture, we see over and over again, Jesus was spending his life less fighting evil and more sowing love, which I suppose is how you best fight evil. At least that's what Jesus taught us. That's what Jesus would do. I will follow that part. So how do we fight evil? This brings us to the hard questions when we get to that fox in our world today. Pastors this past week are all, well, not just pastors, but we're getting the questions, maybe more than some people. The why would God let this happen in the wake of another terrible shooting in New Zealand? Why wouldn't God intervene against such levels of evil? One pastor responded to this question in writing and shared it. He said, perhaps God will, at a time of God's choosing, intervene. But even as I write that, I find myself thinking that this thought attempts to shift responsibility from ourselves to God. It's not God that embraces hate speech, racist thoughts, distrust of others who are different. It's what we do. He went on, the witness of the church is needed now more than ever. Each of us asking, what can I do today to promote kindness and love? And then we must act upon these thoughts. Confront evil by sowing love. Christ is on his way to the cross. We take a step back in the story. We take to the theme that we are on, what basically is the theme to Lent. Christ is on the way, on the move, then and now. And we have a promise that the final outcome is done. But now we're called to live out our faith, focusing on loving our neighbor. And that's not simply a statement of loving our neighbor when everything is good. And that's the part that we have to say to ourselves over and over again. But loving our neighbor when everything is not good, when the carpet needs duct tape, when the world needs duct tape, past all obstacles. I don't know the way around them. So many of them. If I look at the obstacle itself, it can just seem overwhelming. I don't know how to take care of that evil. What I do know is that we are not alone. That we have a God that loves us, but also that we have a God that calls us to one another, holding hands above the rainbow. He saw that no matter how hard the obstacle was, it was nothing compared to the love that he would share. Can the church say the same thing? The obstacles are hard, but they are nothing compared to the love that we will share through Christ Jesus. Amen.